Vayehi Vayom Ashlishi, it's Parshas Yisro. Parshas Yisro is the Parsha of Matan Torah. Most probably the greatest event in all of history. Vayehi Vayom Ashlishi, it came to pass on the third day. The third day is the third day since they had been making the 3 days of preparation prior to the morning. It's now already the morning of the great revelation. It's the morning. It's the first Shavuos in the morning. B'shachar HaBoker, at dawn, early morning. Now you have to imagine the scene. Vayehi kolot ubrakim. There was thunder, there was lightning. Onam kaved al ha'har. A very heavy cloud on the mountain. The kol shofar chazak v'yod. And a strong and mighty sound of the shofar. Vayecherad. And the entire people that was in the camp shuddered. We're talking about an awesome, terrifying experience. Vayotze Moshe, Moshe took the people out toward God, min ha-machaneh, from the camp, vayityatzvu b'tachtit ha-har, and they stationed themselves at the bottom of the mountain, at the foothills of Mount Sinai. The description continues. You feel already the divine presence is shaking the world. It's going to be the one and only time in all of history where God descended from the very heavens down to earth. The Har Sinai, Ashan Kulom Pnei, Asher Yorad Olam Hashem Vaesh, and the mountain, Mount Sinai, was smoking because Hashem had descended upon it in fire, and the smoke went heavenward. The smoke went Vayal Ashono Keeshen Hakitson, and the smoke of Har Sinai went up like the smoke of a furnace. Vayecherad Kol Hahorio. Not only are the people trembling, the very mountain itself is trembling because of the divine presence that is descending. Vayehi Kol Hashofar, again we hear the sound of the shofar holech. The Chazek Miod, it's continuing and it's getting even stronger. Moshe Yadaber, Moshe would speak, the Lakim Yananu Bekol, and God will respond in his voice. Vayeded, great moment. Vayeded Hashem al Har Sinai, and God came down to Mount Sinai, El Rosh Ahor, to the top of the mountain. Vayikra Hashem al Moshe El Rosh Ahor, and God called Moshe to come up to the top of the mountain. Vayaal Moshe. And Moshe went up. Now, there are going to be a few psukim of a dialogue between God and Moshe Rabbeinu. And this dialogue, it is going to be a little bit difficult to understand. And we're going to have to attempt to plumb the depths of this, I can say, strange, perplexing conversation that goes on. By Yonah Hashem Moshe, Moshe, God said to Moshe, Reid Ho'ed Baham, go down, descend, go down, warn the people, Ho'ed Baham, bear testimony against them. Pen Yehersu Hashem Lirot, lest they break through to Hashem to see. They're going to want to come closer to the mountain. They're not allowed to come to the mountain. Earlier in the parasha, when they were being prepared for revelation at Mount Sinai, they were told, no one is to approach the mountain. Anyone who approaches the mountain will be killed. Don't go to the mountain. And now at the last moment, immediately before the beginning of the revelation, God tells Moshe, go down, warn them. Warn them. Pen Yehersu Hashem, lest they will break through to God to see the great phenomenon of what's taking place. With not only menu rav, and a multitude will fall. V'gam ha-kohanim ha-nigoshim alach Hashem yitkadoshu, even the kohanim who approach Hashem should be prepared to stand where they are. Pen yifrotz b'ham Hashem, lest God will breach and burst forth into them. All right, okay. Vayomer Moshe Hashem, listen to Moshe's response. Moshe says to God, Lo yuchal ha'am lalot el har Sinai. The people can't go up. They can't go up to Mount Sinai. Ki ata ha'edot ha'banu le'mor. You already warned us, so saying. And Moshe, in fact, had already told the people, don't go up to the mountain. You already warned us. Hagbel et ha'har v'kidashton. You already warned us and you told us. Hagbel et ha'har, bound the mountain, v'kidashton, and sanctify it. In other words, make a fence around the mountain. Did you see those police barriers out in front of the center over here? They must probably put them up all around. They must only leaving them over here for the next time the university strikes, so they'll start demonstrations next door all over again. So you have to be prepared. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems as though Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Ben Hashem, don't get so excited, don't get so nervous, what are you upset about? You're worried they're going to break through, they're not going to break through. They're not going to break through. You already warned us, and not only you warned us, we have boundaries around the mountain. We have fences around the mountain. Maybe there are even fellas on horses waiting to hold back the crowds that may want to rush to the mountain. So what do you want? What do you want? The fact is that from the beginning, the description that we learned up until now about what's happening in the world and around the mountain and on the mountain, we would have expected that the moment had already arrived at which we would hear what's going to come later. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And here it is. There's an extremely important communication of God to Moshe that seems to be significant enough to delay the great moment. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand the reason for the delay. There's another dilemma over here. If Moshe doesn't understand God, and God doesn't understand Moshe, that does not augur well for the whole communication of Torah from God to Moshe and from him to the Jewish people. From the simple text, it would seem as though Moshe just doesn't understand. God, you don't get it, Moshe is saying. Lo yuchal ha'amalos. They can't go up to the mountain. Las vilster. Ki ato ha'idot ha'amalemor. You already warned us, so saying. Ha'veil et ha'har. V'kidashto. Make a fence around the mountain and sanctify it. God's response to Moshe is even more perplexing. By Yomer Hashem Moshe, God said to Moshe, Lech Rei, go down. V'olita atav Aaron, and you and Aaron should come up, imach with you, v'hakonim v'ha'am al yersu la'alot al Hashem, and the Kohanim and the people shall not break through to go up to God, pen Yifrozvam, lest he strike them. Did God respond to Moshe's query? Not a word. God doesn't explain himself. All he does is he says to Moshe, go down. And you know what happens? Vayeded Moshe Elohim. And Moshe went down to the people, Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to them, what happened here? What's the meaning of this whole dialogue? What is going on over here? And then immediately after that comes the great opening sentence to the Ten Commandments by Yadavid Elohim, Kol Hadvarim Ha'elolemor, and Elohim said all of these words, so saying. Strange, perplexing, puzzling dialogue. I had a pshat for many years. And then, only recently, I saw another pshat. And you know, it's beautiful when you have a way of understanding it for so many years, and then you see somebody else, and this is the Talmud Rebbe. The Talmud Rebbe of Yitzhak Menachem Weinberg, one of the shining, rising stars in the Jewish world. He lives in Bayit Vigan,
Well, his father comes from Toronto. That's also important. That's also important. Yes. I learned here in Yeshiva in 1955 or 56, and you know, I was a young lad away from home, and one of the homes in which I came into, one of the two or three homes that I came into, really two, was his parents, Shmuel Weinberg. Shmuel Weinberg, who was for many years an executive in the Mishra HaDatot, you remember, the Ministry of Religion, all of our shalom that may now go through Tchia Sameisen. I remember he challenged me then, yeah, you're going back to America. I want to see you come back here, you understand? This is where you belong. This is where you belong. And he put away a safer someplace, said, if I come, when I come on Aliyah, I get the safer. I came on Aliyah, I didn't get the safer. We don't remember which one it was. But anyway, So I'm going to tell you how I had learned Pshat all of these years, and the Pshat that the Talmud Rebbe says. The way I had learned Pshat is the following. God says to Moshe, go down and speak to the people. Talk to them. They should not come to the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, lo yuchal ha'om la'ud. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's taken care of. They can't come up to the mountain. You told us all about it. You warned us. And we've done exactly as you did. Lo yuchal ha'om la'ud. Rashi says, you don't have this. I'm reading the Rashi. Eini tzorich lo'ed lahem. I don't have to warn them. They've been warned and they are in the process of being warned for 3 days. They can't go up. They don't have permission to go. I'm saying even a little more. It may be from the Pesukim. Not only they don't have permission to go up, even if they want to go up, we have our people who are standing there making sure they're not going to go up. God says, Tim Lechrei, go down. And Rashi says, Bahai Behem Shemit, warn them a second time. Shemizarasin eto Adam Kodem Masa, you're supposed to encourage a person at the time that something has happened, Bechosin and Mizarasin also before, and you know, you have to tell somebody in advance. And then at the time of the action, you're supposed to warn them again. The way I understood is the following. There were many, many years, it's already many years, since those of you who are young enough to still remember the Cold War. The Cold War was created the idea in this world of a deterrent, a nuclear deterrent. What was the story of the nuclear deterrent? The Russians have bombs, and we have bombs. Now, if you're going to try and bomb us, then you have to know that you're going to... We're going to destroy you. You'll destroy us 20 times. We can destroy you 50 times, and then it's all over, and that's it. So what was the point of our having and their having? A nuclear deterrent. Watch. You can't even dream of doing what you want to do because we have something that's going to deter you. Now, a deterrent is an extremely, extremely important tool in the relationship between nations. Unfortunately, that's the way it is in this world. It's an extremely important idea. It may even be that the state of Israel has learned the meaning of the word deterrent, but it only lasted for a day. Don't give them any fuel. Turn off the electricity. And all day yesterday, one qassam fell. So now I hear at the 9 o'clock news that they've already started the flow of electricity again.
And the Qassam started coming down again. Wonderful, you know. We have a deterrent, but a deterrent isn't worth, as we, my Tata would have said, a deterrent isn't worth a thing if you don't deter with the deterrent. Well, what happens if you don't deter with the deterrent? It's nothing but nothing. We have a deterrent, but we don't have the will to use it. We don't have the will to use it. But we're going to learn. We're going to learn. Bright people in the world learn quickly. Jews need a little bit more time to learn quickly. I'm talking not about all Jews. I'm talking about the people in government here. That was my comment for today. They should even understand, you know, it started raining. The Rebbeinu Shem Pashut was so happy with yesterday's deterrent that he started sending down block alibis to continue to rain. Because, hey, we need it desperately. All right. You know what the Rebbeinu Shem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu? You know who needs deterrents? Animals need deterrents. Human beings who understand a command that comes from the creator of all don't need deterrents. Don't tell me you have walls around the mountain, you have police around the mountain, you have mounted police around the mountain. Lo yuchalam, they can't go. They have to understand that the God Almighty is speaking to them now, and that the word of God is something that in and of itself should be sufficient, that they should not want to come to the mountain. Don't tell me they want to come to the mountain, but oh, yuchal, they can't. Something's deterring them. That's not the relationship that I want with the Jewish people. The relationship that I want from this moment on and further, as I'm going to communicate to them, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm God, your God, you know what I want? They shouldn't want to come to the mountain. For then reality should be the word of God. God says it's awesome. Nothing to talk about. That's it. That's the final psak. So Moshe, no. I know what you're telling me. They can't go. You've warned them. You've told them. I want them to know that from this moment on and further, when they hear the word of God, they shouldn't even dream of or want to. There should be no need for deterrence. East and West need deterrence. Enemies need deterrence. My relationship with Klal Yisrael is going to be the relationship of father, king, to his children, subjects. That's a whole different story. Over here, the very word of God, the very will of God, the Ritzon Hashem, God's will, should already be enough to establish what is our agenda. Our agenda is completely up to Him. So you know what? Moshe understands. And Vayeded Moshe, Moshe went down El Hom to the people, Vayomer Aleihem, and he spoke to them. Words. Words alone should be sufficient. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. Oh, my Lord, something just came popping into my head. The famous story. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibaditchev was Erev Pesach, and he sent his, he called in a number of his balabatim. It's a famous story. I heard it as a little kid, and I just remembered it now. And he sent some of his people out to go through Bardichev and look for Turkish tobacco. I don't know. Russian crack and chametz. The Rebbe said, what does the Rebbe want? So they go through the town, house by house. Oy, did they find Turkish tobacco. Oy, did they find Russian who knows what. There's smuggling that was gone. Jews had to survive. Everything was prohibited to them. But they didn't find a crumb of chametz. There wasn't
a crumb of chametz in all of Beit Yitzchak. So the Rav Yitzchak stood up, so the Rav Yitzchak Yitzchak stood up before the Rav Yitzchak and says, take a look at this. The Turkish army and the Turkish police and the Russian army and the Russian police and the Tsar's agents are all over making sure that nobody is bringing in Turkish tobacco or Russian, who knows what. And it's all over town. And you simply said, Lo yeroel chametz, there shall be no chametz in your home. Just your word alone. You don't have any policemen, you don't have any horsemen, you have no one on the face of this earth that's carrying out your command or worried about it. And you can't find the crumb of chametz in all of Paditzer. Mikavcho Yisrael. And then he started the Seder. And the story just came to me now, because I think that's the pshat. That's the pshat that I've been saying all these years. Speak to them. They have to understand that a relationship is now being entered into between God and the Jewish people, an eternal relationship. And that eternal relationship is not going to be based on fear or all sorts of people who are guarding the Jews should not commit crimes. No, God's word, that's enough. Moshe Rabbeinu understands. I don't relate. He said it to them. Okay. That's pshat one. Now the Chebbe. The Rebbe asks all the questions that we have asked. It's amazing. Everything. What's the meaning of this conversation? What's going on over here? What is it? Moshe doesn't understand what God is saying. God doesn't understand what Moshe is saying. So he says that he says a pshat, and one of the advantages of his pshat is that it's also going to connect what happens before Revelation at Sinai and what's going to happen after Revelation at Sinai. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hinini bo elecho ba'av ha'onon, I'm coming to you in a cloud so that they should hear me. V'gam b'cho ya'aminu le'olam, they will also believe in you forever. They will see that on the mountain I am speaking to you, and you from that moment on and further, you will be the one Hashem will come be Yisrael k'moshe od navi. No other prophet arose by the Jewish people like Moshe. So that this is also important. This is also important. And then following the entire revelation of Mount Sinai, the end of the parasha is, God says, build for me an altar, Mizbach Adama. You should build an altar of earth. And lo tale b'malot al mizbechi. You shall not ascend my altar on steps. They have to build a ramp, not steps. All right, listen, the will of God, the will of God. Yeah, but we're going to freak Shilas. We're going to freak Shilas. And we only freak Shilas when we have answers, and good answers for the Shilas. All right. The Rishon is telling something to Moshe Rabbeinu that is extremely, extremely significant. Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people are not on the same level. Moshe Rabbeinu is the human being who is closest to God of any human being on the face of this earth ever. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there's only one reality. The reality is the Word of God. God says something that becomes reality. There is absolutely no way for Moshe Rabbeinu to reject God's reality and whatever it is he says. He has free will. Everybody has free will. Except that Moshe Rabbeinu has already taken his free will and formulated and forged it in such a way that for him reality is the Word of God. Which also brings to mind something that takes me back about 45 years. The learning Yehoshua, this was back in Neri Slot of Toronto, a long time ago. We're learning Sefer Yehoshua, and Sefer Yehoshua begins with God appearing to Yehoshua, and he says, the first three words that God says to Yehoshua, Moshe Avdi Meis. My servant Moshe is dead. Va'ato now, kum avor tayarden. Get up and cross the Jordan. You're taking the Jewish people across the Jordan. And the student asked the question, it's already by the shloshim of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's been dead for about 30 days. Now, what is God telling Yehoshua? Something new he's telling him? But Yehoshua, do you know what happened? Moshe Avdi Meis, my servant Moshe is dead. Well, what's he telling him? This is the first communication. The Rebbe Shem is an obituary in the New York Times. What's he telling Yehoshua? Moshe Avdi Meis. He should have said, Yehoshua, kum avoras hayarden. Arise across the Yarden. I said the following. Yehoshua was the alter ego of Moshe Rabbeinu. Our rabbis tell us, Pnei Moshe, the face of Moshe was the face of the sun. Pnei Yehoshua, the face of Yehoshua was the face of the moon. Where does the moon get all of its brilliance and light from the sun? Everything that Yehoshua is the reflection of Moshe. This was the great Rebbe from whom he did not separate himself for 40 years. I'm assuming that with the passing of Moshe, Yehoshua was thrown into such turmoil. What's the natural reaction? It can't be. That's how most people react to tragedy. I can't believe it's happening. I can't believe it. Difficult to just come face to face with the reality, and therefore people have difficulty going out and entering the world again. That's why there's a shiva. The mourner has no business going out into the world. He is now munutak. He's cut off from the world now. He's not ready to function. He will only be ready to function when the full reality begins to make itself felt. And yes, the beloved, the Rebbe, the spouse, gone. And now I have to start life all over again. Yehoshua, whose relationship to Moshe was this unbelievable kind of relationship, they were like one. For him, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu was completely shattering. But the Rebbe Shem knows one thing. Since Yehoshua is the great student of Moshe, and what did he just say a moment ago about Moshe? Moshe, reality for Moshe is defined by the Word of God. God says something, that's reality. God says, don't go to the mountain. There isn't even a dream of going to the mountain. The Rebbe Shem tells Yehoshua, Moshe Avdi Meis. My servant Moshe is dead. You know what happens at that moment to Yehoshua? That becomes absolute reality, because truth is the word of God. It was so to Moshe, and it was so to Yehoshua. And the moment he hears that, he understands that all of his fantasies about maybe it's not so, maybe he only departed for a while, maybe he's still alive someplace, all of those fantasies disappear in the three words that God says to Yehoshua. Moshe Avdi Meis. Now, you know that, Yehoshua? The reality has finally sunk in. Now you're ready to cross the Jordan. Moshe Rabbeinu has been told that nobody is to go to the mountain. Well, that's it.
God said nobody's supposed to go to the mountain. Nobody's supposed to go to the mountain. That's all.
God wants to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, to be a real leader of the Jewish people. And that's what's going to happen over here in this brief, inexplicable Kabbalah conversation. For one to be a real leader of the Jewish people, you have to be able to take yourself intellectually down to their level. You have to know where they are. You're going to try to speak to them from up there without any true understanding of where they are. You will fail as a leader. For you, it's true, the Word of God is a totality of all realities. But wait, they're not there. They're not there yet. Take it easy. Lech Reid. Go down to their level. Try and understand what's going on by them in order to be able to teach them and lead them and edify them, forge them, form them, make them into a people. You're going to have to know where they're up to. So therefore he says, Lech Reid, and warn them, you should know Moshe, they're not where you are. Their level is lower than yours, even though, and God might very well tell them, take a look at what happened to them before. At the Yam Suf, Zekei Livam Deu, this is my God and I will exalt him. Roas Oshif Halayom, a maidservant at the seashore more than all of the prophets saw. They had achieved a level of prophecy like Yecheskel Ben Buzi, the Medrash says. And then afterwards, last week's Sedra, they're complaining about bread, they're complaining about water, they're worried about basar, flesh, steaks. People are capable of achieving great spiritual peaks, but you should know there's something very dangerous about the heights. The very great danger about the height is if you slip, oyvei, do you fall? May Igra Roma from the very heights, Lubira Amikta, down to the very depths. And take a look, Moshe, that's what happened to them last week's Sedra. Before the war of Amalek, Klal Yisrael said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin, is God in our midst or not? And these are the people that, I don't know, 50 psukim earlier had said, Zekeli banveu, this is my God. Because that's the way it is. The way it is in order to achieve levels in sanctity, you have to do it step by step. You can't skip any steps. You can't take the steps two steps at a time, because the chances are you're going to go falling flat on your face. Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to have to take them like little kindler. You're going to have to take them by the hand, step by step. And you're going to have to be able to see them and see their level and understand it, not from the rarefied heights that you are at, but you've got to take yourself down. And you know, talk to them, explain to them. And you know what? So the Rebbe says, if you're going to lead the Jewish people in that way, then what I told you a few days ago, v'gam b'cho yaminu la'olam, they will believe in you forever. They will believe in you because you're going to lead them by the hand and you are going to build this people. I don't know why this morning I'm remembering all sorts of things from years ago. Heinrich Heine, hat amol gesagt, great German poet, thinker, etc. He converted out of the faith. Never. That was the marker of German Jewry. So Heinrich Heine, toward the end of his life, said, all my life, I did not forgive Moses for having prohibited the plastic arts. I never forgave Moses for having prohibited making images, graven images, hanging here. Barbarian doesn't understand the beauty of sculpture, you know. Barbarian doesn't understand. And I was, oh, I never forgave Moses for that. Until now I realized that the greatest art form in the world is taking a slave people and turning them into a great nation. Far greater work of art than any of the plastic arts of the whole world. That was a shtickle tshuva already. That was doing tshuva for Heinrich Heine. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling, God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to have to understand their level. You have to understand where they are. You cannot make demands of them without explaining to them and knowing what they are ready for. There's the famous medrash. This is also something we talked about years ago. The famous medrash that says that before God gave Torah to the Jewish people, he offered Torah to the nations of the world. And the medrash says that he came to nation by nation, he came to Esav, and he said to them, "Mekablim atem et haTorah, will you receive the Torah?" And they said to him, "Makatuvba, what's written in Torah? So Rashi, give us a sample. For instance, what does it say in Torah?" So God said to them, it says, "Lo tirchach, thou shalt not kill." Esau's response was, "What are you talking about? Our heritage from our father Esau is our heritage from our father is that we're killers, you understand? We're killers. You're going to tell us to break. That's the Masorah, you understand? The Masorah that we have from Esau. To kill, kill, kill. Now, sorry, God, we can't accept your Torah." He comes to the sons of Ammon and Moab. The Medrash says, "Will you accept my Torah?" So they also asked the same question. My cousin, what's written in Torah? So he said, "Lo tinoch, you shall not commit adultery, illicit relationships." And Ammon and Moab said, "What are you talking about? We came into being on the face of this earth by an illicit relationship between Lot and his daughters. So you're going to tell us, Lot tinoch, I mean, you better take your pekala with teichala and go peddle it elsewhere. Not here." And then he came to Yishmael, and he asked them, "The Kabbalah Matemat HaTorah, will you accept the Torah?" So they said, "Ma Kosovo," in three great words, what's written in Torah. And he said, "Well, Tignot, I shall not steal. I shall not steal." So they say to him, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about? We're Ganavim. We've always been Ganavim, Yishmael. Not only that, we know how to steal. We know how to steal land. We know how to steal land. Not too many people know how to steal land. We can do that too. And not only can we do that, we can turn the others and make them guilty of having stolen land. You understand? That's a chachma when you can turn the victim into the perpetrator of evil, and they can pull that on us very well over there because our people allow themselves." All right, okay, that's two comments. All right. Finally, he came to the Jewish people and he offered them Torah, and they said, "Nasa v'nishma, we will do it here." I've always said on this medrash that for the greatest moment in history, goyim answer like Jews, and Jews answer like goyim. You ask a Jew a question, so how does he answer? With a question, right? So he comes to Esau, Yishmael, Ammon and Moab, and he asks them, "Will you accept my Torah?" Ni v'shtaitotn geschriben ma kosovo. He comes to Klal Yisrael and he offers them Torah. And you know what they say? Nasa v'nishma. No questions. We will do. What's the meaning of the Medrash? What's the meaning of the Medrash? And remember, this Medrash has a problem because would God have told... these nations that, listen, it says in my Torah that you can't wear shatnas, and you have to set up shatnas laboratories all over the world. So they would have been justified in saying, "What are you talking about? The wool and linen together, God Almighty, we need shatnas laboratories. Ah, come on." Or if you would have told them about the Paraduma. But here they are they are saying to God, Lo Tirzach, Lo Tignov, Lo Tinov. That's why they reject Torah. What do you mean? Every civilization since the dawn of the world legislated against murder, against thievery, against adultery. No civilization can survive without that legislation. The world would become man-eat-man world, if not for the fact that murder is prohibited and stealing is prohibited. But of course, what's happening over here is the following. There's a big, big difference between God saying, Lo Tirzach, God saying, Thou shalt not kill, or Lo Tirzach, for example, the Lo Tirzach that the Nazi Germany, Hans would kill Fritz in Berlin, in the middle of the Second World War, he would be punished. Now what happens if he'd say to the judge, what are you talking about? What do you care? You're killing 12,000 people a day at Auschwitz. What's your problem? You're shooting people to death all over Europe. An unbelievable story in today's Time magazine. Every few months I decide I'm going to stop my subscription to that anti-Semitic paper. Especially after I told you a few months ago when they wrote the obituary on Avraham Shapira, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Lebracha, and being the most divisive man in this country. Gogol Shebegedolim. Oh God, I was very angry, still angry. But then they have this two pages in this week's issue about a priest from France, Dubois, who started 4 years ago going through the Ukraine speaking to elderly people. And he discovered 400-500 burial sites that were not known to anybody in the world, where elderly people in Ukraine are testifying, we saw the killings taking place. It may even mean that there were more than 6 million that were killed. So then I start liking Time magazine. So I say, if somebody would have claimed in a court in Berlin that, listen, what do you want from me that I killed Fritz? Ought to have killed Fritz. You know, you're killing. No. The Lo Tirzach of Germany was, you're not allowed to kill blonde, blue-eyed Aryans, but anybody else, it's a mitzvah. The fact is, when you ask God, what's written in it, you have already rejected Torah. Whatever example or sample he's going to give them afterwards, it doesn't make any difference. A God, creator of the world, wants to give you his Torah, and you say, what's written in that, that means you're going to say, listen, and God, very nice, but I'm going to have to decide. I'm going to have to decide means that you're unwilling to accept the wisdom of the divine. Makosubo is already the great rejection. And Klal Yisrael understood this. They said, Nasa v'nishma. Question is, did God test the Jewish people as well? I mean, he told, to some he said, Lo Tirzach, Lo Tignov, Lo Tinov. Why to all of the nations does God give a mitzvah and test them with the mitzvah? But by Yisrael, we don't... don't have it. So the Rebbe brings first what I just said, that you don't have to test a people that say Nasa v'nishma. You know you have to test, and only to show them that it's useless, are people who reject God by virtue of the fact that they ask that question. But he brings a Maharal Prague. The Maharal Prague says that yes, they were tested. You know what the test was? Will they break through to go to the mountain? That was the test. They were indeed tested. This is their mitzvah right now. At Sinai they have a mitzvah. And their mitzvah is not to break through. And you know what God has done when he speaks to Moshe according to my shot? What he's saying is God, the Jewish people are being tested not whether they're going to break through to the mountain. Whether they're going to want to break through to the mountain. Or they will have learned that the word of God is already the ultimate of all reality. So the important point that emerges from all of this is the following: that the that growth and development in terms of Torah and mitzvahs is not something that can be accomplished by leaps and bounds. It has to go step by step. And sometimes we will meet people who overnight have become so frum, they, and you look at them and you think, oy vey vey, when is the fall going to come? When will it all simply collapse? Because everything needs a foundation. It needs a foundation. And you have to go step by step. So the Rebbe says beautifully, that's why the end of the Sedra says, build an altar for me. The top of the altar is the ultimate sacrifice. But lo taleh v'malot al mizbechi. Don't go up by leaps and steps. You know how you're going to do it? You're going to go on an incline. You're going to go on an incline. You're going to climb it little by little. Little by little. Rav Kook, in his Orot HaTshuvah, discusses the same idea and says how important it is, and not only for the Baal Tshuva, every one of us, there are moments at which we want to achieve greater things, and we have to be very, very careful how we go about it. We have to go about it step by step. To the Baal Tshuva, he says, don't look to the past. Just look forward. You'll worry about the past later. Look forward. Go the step of Asay Tov, just another mitzvah, and another mitzvah, and another mitzvah. You have to do it step by step. The important idea over here is the leader. The leader has to be tuned into his people. He has to know precisely where they are. You can't push them beyond their ability. You have to be able to take them step by step. And this is what the Rebbe is telling Moshe. Here it is. Torah is going to be given. And from this moment on, the Torah is given to the Jewish people, the process of educating them. Heinrich, slave people are going to be turned into the great, majestic Jewish people. That cannot be done overnight. Can't be done by jumping. They're going to be backsliding. Nifilot. Rav Kook talks about nifilot. There will be falls. And what you have to do is, oh, it's a pasuk. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The tzaddik can fall 7 times and pick himself up and keep going. It's not necessarily a big kunst never to fall. Everybody falls. Everybody has moments of backsliding. The greatness is the ability to pick yourself up, you understand, and start all over again, or pick up again from where you are. This is the great challenge to the human being in general, and to the Jew, of course, in particular. Pick yourself up and keep going. So that this little conversation that takes place before Maimon Har Sinai is so terribly important. It's important in terms of, from the pshat that I was saying, it's important as to what Moshe is supposed to say to them. Moshe has to explain to them not to want to come to the mountain. And the Rebbe, Tolle Rebbe, is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu has to understand, if you really want to educate them, you want to create a great people, you better be able to take yourself down to their level. You have to be able to see where they are, what they are ready for, how you are going to take them step by step. Otherwise, the whole process can be a process that will turn into a disaster. And that's why it's going to take 40 years. It's going to take 40 years. It's going to take 4,000 years. It's going to take time. The great ability of the Jewish people is that we fall and we rise. We fall and we rise. I just hope we should start rising again. But it's just fascinating. Few 2-3 psukim over there, right before Mamet HaSinai, otherwise have made no sense.